Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's back.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Hi.
And Pete Donaldson.
Hello, Marcus.
Balls a Ramble. Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's June and we're still talking about club football. Just about. Luke, you said before the mics went live. Mm-hmm. Well, not that it's live.
You can't share that.
Podcast.
I told you, it's not from the broadcast.
But honestly, mate, do get it checked out.
Yeah, I will.
The Ramble Lawyer got very excited there. But no.
Why is it weeping?
You just... you said club football, no place in June.
Well, what I said is, the exact words I think I used were, if you've got an international shirt on your back, in June and July, you can come at me. Mm. If you haven't, I don't want to know.
Don't want to know.
Did not want to know. But it's the last day of tournament, the Ramble, isn't it? Last one of the season. So we're in jaunty spirits.
I've brought in Screwball Scramble.
Yeah.
Anybody want to crack?
Lost a ball bearing already.
No, I've lost the top off the maze that I took off to make it easier.
It's all up your nose.
Football Ramble, Pete, not Screwball Scramble.
Oh,
I'm bored
what?
Of explaining this
Jim,
to you.
Every week without fail, Pete drops in one for the teenagers early on. 80s game by Mattel.
All right, we all brought in fidget spinners then.
Yeah. Are you trying to get a Top of the Pops 2 voiceover or something? I brought in my Atari ST.
Yeah.
Careful with the BBC with the old Top of the Pops stuff. They can't show that anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
They can't show that stuff anymore.
difficult.
But Pete will end up like one of them, perhaps.
There's a band. I forget who they are, but there's a band who can't get any more royalties or anything, or from the idea of releasing a DVD of their Top of the Pop performances because the presenters are, needless to say, Operation U-Tree, and it just happened coincidentally every single episode.
Oh no!
So
what a disaster!
I can't remember which band it is though.
I think the shamed wrestler Chris Benoit in the WWE Hall of Fame videos. They always just scratch him out. They sort of colour him out like he never existed. Weird.
It's difficult to know how to approach it, though, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it is the end of the club football, season here in Europe. We now look forward to some edge of the seat international football and next season, of course. What one thing would you change about football for next season, having enjoyed the season so much? Jim Campbell, to begin with.
What I would like to see is the space above every single ground in the world to become a no-fly zone. Because I've been embarrassed by planes, you've been embarrassed by planes, Pete. We shouldn't be being embarrassed by planes. That's a nonsensical notion.
You're only allowed to fly a plane over a ground if you've built it yourself.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like a kit car.
But you've got, like, Wright Brothers experimental stage stuff.
So that's going to make it much worse.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Imagine the sort of person who would build their own plane over a football ground.
I can see one right now.
Yeah. mind you, none of them would ever take off.
No, so exactly. That's the thing, because if they did actually get over the ground, you'd be so impressed that you'd actually be happy to see it.
I think we'd see a Sports Direct one. Flying over St. James very soon.
A flat pack one you buy from Sports Direct.
Yeah, exactly,
And one of those little baskets.
With made out of our carrier bags.
With a bloke with a big mug out the window going, cheers.
Cup of tea on the go. Massive cup of tea. A three bagger.
Oh, well, wonderful start, Jim. Yeah, I think there's something we can all get behind. Yeah. Mm. Luke?
I think football's absolutely perfect and I wouldn't change anything.
Okay.
Come on. What I thought would be a nice little touch, because it would affect the game in a subtle but fairly quite interesting way, is what about if you could only hire or fire a manager in the transfer window?
You get to August
or whatever, but chiefly in January, teams are struggling. They don't really know what they were expecting from the season. If they've been potentially, they were promoted or whatever, they don't know what their ambitions are, but maybe they're sitting 17th. Because when Ranieri was fired, they were sitting 17th. And it was like, oh, I think it was in February. January, you've got to choose whether to give them the bullet or not.
Stick or twist.
Tell you what, you could get into a point there where sort of maybe every season a club would hire Alan Pardew, sack him in January before the slump, and then get Big Sam in.
There you go.
You could win
perfect
the league.
Combination.
But also,
before the slump. I think Palace are a bit piss poor. But
not necessarily Palace, but any team. Because, you know, Pardew has his slump, doesn't he? And it's unarrestable.
It would put even more tension, even more importance on the games over Christmas.
Yeah.
Because imagine it, right? You've got, say, for quirk of the calendar, you've got a full Premier League fixture list on like the 29th of December. And two or three days later, the transfer window's opening for managers.
What I would say is that, imagine being a Sunderland fan. You'd have a manager fired at the end of August every single time.
This has gone too far.
But you know what would happen, though, is that players, you know, they like, some have suggested, there's been a little rumour that maybe one or two players may get an extra booking to enjoy Christmas. Yeah. Well, if players think to themselves, as we've seen many times,
if we down tools, the manager's off.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So Christmas could be an awfully boring period or a really bad period for a lot of clubs.
The reason I brought this up is because a scarcely believable 14 managerial changes happened in the top flight alone between May 2016 and March 2017.
Wow,
that's
incredible.
14.
Wow. Although what I would like to see, I think that's a good rule.
A couple of those were Swansea.
Get like one day where a window opens just for a day, like maybe end of March or something, just to see. Just to see, like, there's like six managers got in one day or something.
Or they change it every year. So you can't really prepare for it.
Yeah.
It'll be maybe in March at some point.
It's up to Jim White to announce it.
Like suddenly Chavez.
Absolutely.
It's on, ding, ding, ding.
A cross between that and supermarket sweep. Again, one for the new generation.
Yeah. Hugo Chavez and supermarket sweep.
Playing Scrooble Scramble.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. I'm a managerial transfer window, which has been mooted semi-seriously by people much bigger football brains than mine.
Oh, dear. Well, Peter, what have you got for us?
Well, I actually had the no-fly zone as well, to be honest. But I kind of with
oh,
that...
Oh, it's like Countdown, you've got to show you're writing down.
Yeah, no more banners, because we proved that we're not allowed them. We're stupid. Unless they have dogs on them, like that hilarious and wonderful...
Alexis Sanchez
one. Still annoyed loads of Arsenal fans.
Yeah, so no banners right throughout the season, but you are allowed one pitch invasion every match.
on.
Every match.
No, one club should have it once a season.
So, like, it separates the groundsmen from the grounds boys. By the end of the season, it'll be a marsh.
Every match. I thought he was going to say you get one a season.
Yeah, that's the real problem, isn't it? The groundsmen's jobs are too easy.
And the fans, I'd like to say the Leicester City one, enjoy that. Yeah. Just all us feet all over it.
I'll tell you what will be great, speaking of that, I just thought of something. What if the groundsmen weren't allowed to touch the pitch from the start of the season? So, you've got to do the best job you can throughout June and July. As soon as the season starts, the very first whistle of the first game, groundsman gets his feet up. He can't do anything.
Yeah, that would influence the start of play. The groundsman shouting, "No sliding!"
Yeah. And by the end of the season,
last ditch defenders and ruining the pitch.
Gunnosaurus has got his t-shirt kind of filled with grass seed and just firing it out.
You got injured players just rolling around, lost in it by May.
Yeah. It would be like the old school FA Cup games you used to see.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. I like the sound of that. Yeah. I've gone for something much more simple. I'd change Big Sam's mind and get him to stay in football. Because I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. You said a little while ago, he'll be back. And there was a confidence in your voice that I liked. And I think you're right. I don't think we've seen the last one.
I think he might be back. Has Sam
got your ear?
Although, if I could have another go at the question, I'd give David Moyes some kind of laughter therapy or something all summer. So he comes back.
I've never been more sure that a particular type of therapy wouldn't work on an individual.
Any kind of therapy.
How does that work? You just tickle him?
I don't know, Jim. I'm not an expert in it. And I don't think anybody is. But I would get him to come back as the most positive man in football just after last season.
Good luck with that. That's going to take more than the season to sort out that.
All summer.
Yeah.
With the old feather duster at his feet.
There aren't enough beta blockers in the gosh darn world to turn that man's frown around.
Feather duster at the feet. That'll sort him out.
Go on, David.
You are so Ken Dodd. Unbelievable.
David, you've got to take your shoes off or this won't work.
Well, I'm glad you said Ken Dodd if you were going for old entertainers of that generation after the previous conversation. I feel I've got away lightly there. Luke's got the points.
Thanks.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Just the last ones of the season.
I'll take them throughout the summer.
You won the points on the show that we're going to talk about record-breaking Real Madrid and Ronaldo.
There we go. Mm.
You see, it does mean something. It was the Champions League final in Cardiff. Real Madrid won 4-1. We witnessed the first side to retain the Champions League trophy. We needed to wait for this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the retaining. I meant the game because it was, of course, delayed by the Black Eyed Peas by 3 minutes.
I feel fans of football everywhere will agree it was worth it.
Yeah.
They used to be a girl at school whose favourite outfit, favourite artiste, favourite band were Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
And I was watching the Black Eyed Peas and I thought, do you reckon anyone's favourite band is the Black Eyed Peas? Imagine the illness.
Pete, have you got any modern references?
What do you mean?
Have you got anything modern?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, you work for one of the biggest radio stations in the country.
Jamiroquai aren't that old, are they?
Come on!
No, but it's not that bad.
I'm just saying.
It's not a screwball scramble.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's just a weird band to be really into. Like, and I did think, like.
I know what you mean. Black Eyed Peas can't really be anyone's favourite band. No, I mean, some people think they're alright.
Pete, are they like the Alfie de Saint Pet of music?
they actually seem
to get a decent reception, though, which is a stranger thing.
Mm. I don't know. I quite liked Jonathan Wilson in one of these articles.
He was going crazy on Twitter.
Yeah,
Right through. He was going, well, this isn't going to start on time. It didn't start on time.
He was right.
I've never seen him so animated about something. And he once shared a train journey with me. 3 hours.
He was animated after it, I tell you. Down the police station. In one of his articles, I love this, he said, quite why being the most important football match of the year isn't enough. Why it needs these adornments is bewildering. This is a wonderful point. After all, concerts don't start with a quick game of five-a-side on the stage.
The
reason he's annoyed is because in 15 years' time, when he's continuing to write like the history of football, he knows he's got to give him a mensch. Yeah. It was a lot simpler back in the 70s.
I got a feeling, Jonathan.
Real Madrid broke a record with an assist from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, right. Blimey.
Where is the love, Jonathan?
I agree. It's completely unnecessary.
It's completely. But what a win for Real Madrid. What an emphatic win.
Will I Am was on the pitch afterwards as well, wasn't he?
Hanging with Big Ronnie.
Breaking bread with Ronaldo, yeah.
Maybe Ronaldo will be a judge on The Voice now.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. I mean, Real Madrid, 3 Champions League trophies in 4 seasons is quite magnificent.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I thought that was just it.
Well, did you really?
And
they just gave the trophy out to whoever Will I Am likes the most. Modern football for you, Luke Moore. Yeah. Juventus lost for the 7th time Europe's biggest prize. I think it was 7 finals they've lost now. Poor old Gigi Buffon.
Their record in finals is as good as bad as Real Madrid is good, basically. Yeah.
By the way, I say poor old Gigi Buffon. He's a World Cup winner. He's won Serie A titles.
I know, but you can see it meant a lot to him, didn't it?
It did.
Obviously, it meant a lot to him. And a lot of the narrative building up to after the game was, because I can't remember who it was who said it, but someone said that if Real Madrid win it, then Ronaldo will win the Ballon d'Or, but if Juventus win it, then Buffon might win the Ballon d'Or. And that's a much bigger deal for a goalkeeper than it is for a player like Ronaldo, who's already won a few of them anyway.
Yeah, he's 39. He said he's got one more year in his contract, so he's one more chance at Champions League glory.
Absolutely. You really got a feel for him, though, with the first two goals being deflections, which, you know, obviously very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. The second one in particular,
I don't think the first one did.
Yeah, I think the first one was in.
The second one was the problem with the second goal is you don't necessarily want to see one of those types of goals in the Champions League final, not because it was deflected, but because if a player like Casemiro, who's a great player, not a great player in this department particularly, I mean, you're talking about a player, I think, who's got six goals this season, which is his best goal return in his career.
He's not there for goal scoring.
No, if he smashes the ball from 35 yards out, I mean, the defenders can consider themselves doing a decent job. If they're having to shoot from that far out, it's fine. Mm. But then, of course, took a deflection. Buffon probably would have thought himself he could have done a bit better by his own high standards. Mm. But there's not much you can do there from a point of view of defending against that type of goal, I don't think.
I'd be more disappointed by the fact that Modric made the point that Zidane at half-time basically said, whip crosses in quick and low and short passing, and that seemed to work a couple of times. You sort of think, well, that's more disappointing, because
even when Juventus had a decent amount of the play in the first half, they dominated, well, not dominated possession, but had a lot of possession. They didn't really have an awful lot going on. I mean, I can't really think of a decent amount of chances they had in the whole game, really. So from that point of view, I think Zidane also said to them at halftime, didn't he, look, just go out there and be more aggressive, they're there for the take and you can beat them, and that's what transpired.
I thought they played Juventus magnificently in the second half. Of course they did, that's not my opinion, that's fact. But the way they set up, that's how to play against a side who start with the back three and have wide men. I mean, it was quite enthralling with the sort of the Brazilian wing backs going on. Marcelo was there, and Dani Alves and Alexandre.
But they looked like they moved to, they looked like they played a back four for part of it.
Well, yeah, I think Alves was,
because they had Barzagli on Marcelo a lot of the time. And Marcelo was excellent again, by the way.
I mean, but you have to have special treatment for him. You know, what was the one thing when we went to the Madrid derby a few months ago? The one thing we all came away, our suspicions were confirmed, funnily enough, and I'm sure a lot of people agree that Marcelo is such a dynamic player. I mean, he really is a magnificent player. In a set, like, maybe even a touch underrated. It's quite an odd thing to say, because people talk about the Danny Alveses.
I think the last few seasons or so, like, he's clearly in the bracket of best fullbacks in the world, but before he's been seen as a bit of a liability, a bit of a loose cannon, and someone who's maybe not the most tactically aware. But all of that, perhaps it was a fallacy before, but it's clearly not true now.
I think one of the things I noticed against in the Champions League final again, and I saw a bit when we watched him play, is that he can keep that intensity up for the whole game.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, he just grew into the game. Mm. I mean, he started off well, but he finished the game better than he started it. And for me, to be able to keep up that intensity in that position for so long at such a high level, he's got to be considered one of the best fullbacks around.
Their efforts were concentrated on him, and that's understandable.
And that's what they nipped him.
It leaves Danny Carvajal free, who set up the first.
Well as well.
Absolutely right. And when you play with two forwards like Benzema and Cristiano Ronaldo, and people say Cristiano Ronaldo, he's like a number nine now. He's more than that, of course, and I know why people might say that. But when you've got forwards like that, especially Benzema working the flanks, you know, they provide a natural bit of width. Isco's kind of floating about, you know, the fullbacks push up. They've got so much sort of width, and actually they killed Juventus down the flanks sometimes in the second half, you know, which is surprising because, again, we talked about that balance of the Juve side. But it was strange because the first half, very open. With some regards, I know there wasn't many
chances. It's a cracking start to the match.
It was a magnificent start. It was a real pulsating first half. I couldn't believe how open it was in the centre of the field.
Yeah, felt like such an occasion, didn't it? And like the game made it feel like that more than the occasion or the Black Eyed Peas.
Well, I was about to say, don't ever underestimate the Black Eyed Peas.
They gilded the lily, Jim.
Hey!
I'll tell you what did gild the lily.
Go on.
Sergio Ramos resort into the dark arts.
Oh, God, it wasn't very artful.
That's his modus operandi.
He was probably thinking, there's one thing this game hasn't had yet. I know it's in the bag.
I've got my special move.
Yeah, I know it's in the bag, but I'm not done yet.
Do I fancy a goal, or do I fancy getting someone sent off?
Everyone talking before the game, but Ramos get one of his red cards. He was like, there will be a red card.
I can't believe you got away with that.
I wouldn't say there'll be no red card.
But it won't be one of mine.
Do you reckon he had him sort of, you know, in mind before the game? He was like, yeah, wait till you come, Cuadrado. I don't know why I've picked you, but
I was a little bit disappointed when I first saw, because the first camera angle, it didn't show the feet. It just showed the brushing of the shoulders. And I thought, that is outrageous by your standards, Sergio. Yeah. But then obviously it showed it again. He turned his toe. But the assistant referee, I mean, Howard Webb was fuming. He was fuming. But the assistant referee should have stepped in and gone, come on.
Yeah, yeah, but there was a little bit of a stand on the foot, and
come on now.
Look, come on.
I thought Cuadrado was going to chin Ramos. I was like, yeah. I was chinning him.
I thought to myself, why wouldn't you have a little a little sock to the puss?
I just said to Cuadrado, you know that suspensions don't carry on over to next season anyway, so you got a free hit there.
Yeah, right.
Which obviously isn't true, but it would have been fun.
That's what I mean. Like, I just thought to myself, if you're Cuadrado, why not just go sod it?
Going back to the number nine thing, about the point you made about Ronaldo, and I know I agree with you that he's clearly a lot more than that, but the second goal he scored was textbook number nine play.
It was absolutely
amazing.
Delightful.
A quick off the mark, near post run, and a delicate finish. That is number
I'll
nine
tell you
textbook.
Gary Lineker presented for BT Sport would have been all over
he
that.
He would have been, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Even at the beginning of this season, a lot of people, including ourselves, were saying Ronaldo would probably move on at the end of this season. Mm. And I mean, look at everything he's achieved this year.
But it's remarkable what he's done, and Zidane's played his part in that. And his influence can't be underestimated, because Ronaldo, a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, people were saying, oh, he's slowing up. The great man is kind of showing signs of aging. We didn't think this would happen. He'd just sort of carry on until he was
a bionic man. Just replace everybody part of the
right, exactly, yeah. But he was slowing down. Zidane, and this is why someone like Zidane comes into his own. People say, oh, is he tactically that good, blah, 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 blah. Zidane's not going to drag Cristiano Ronaldo to one side and go, right, here's the tactics board, mate, right, here we go. Mm. It's Cristiano Ronaldo for crying out loud. But what Zidane can do is say, look, I'm sending Zidane, my picture's on the wall here. You might have noticed it a few
times.
But
Ronaldo probably said, I know, I recognise you. I'm a footballer as well.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope so. Have you got a statue in Madeira? Well, I might do in a minute. But Zidane would say, right, you're 32 now, I think he is. I'm going to sub you off, or I'm going to not play you in certain games. Trust me on this. You will go longer. Here's the and move.
What
his
language
position.
Does he use?
That's what he has done, though.
No,
really,
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what Zidane does. That's
I'll
what
be
he
thinking.
Would bring.
Why are you telling me my own name?
Yeah,
I know how old I am.
But he's clearly brought this to Ronaldo, and because he's Zidane,
he's brought into it. No, I agree.
And he's obviously a decent man manager. Zidane's gone for it. Ronaldo's gone for it. You compare Ronaldo. Yes, he probably had a bit of an injury, but he was shot to bits the last time round in the final. He was absolutely knackered by the end of the season.
100%.
Now look at this one. He looks as though he could play for another few months.
And I also think that with Zidane, lots been made of the fact that Zidane doesn't actually speak much. So when he does speak, the players, knowing his reputation and what he's achieved in the game already, they genuinely do listen to him. And I think if he goes into that, I mean, I don't know, but if he goes into that dressing room at half time and just says maybe one or two things, be more aggressive, be more confident, play shorter passes, and you'll be fine. It's going to have a lot more weight than the old ratting and raving.
I reckon all of his training is just like practice matches where he just puts himself in. And he's like, well, you know.
Just doing drag backs all the time. Yeah.
Do this. I'll give you a demonstration. Yeah. And then do this.
But apparently that's what Glenn Hoddle used to literally be like.
Glenn Hoddle once said to David Beckham, you're not good enough to do that skill or something. But no, I want you to do it like this, and showed him.
On the other end of the scale is Graham Souness.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't try. You know what you want. But Zidane clearly at half time, he obviously said a few things. But you're right. If Zidane says, just be more. It's a strange one. It's almost like, oi, you're better than this lot. Mm. You're the best side in Europe, for crying out loud. Go and prove it. And some players think, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It is some measure of how well-balanced and how good. I mean, lots have been made over the amount of goals Real Madrid have scored this season. But to put it in perspective, I mean, they can see Juventus can see more goals against Real Madrid in one game than they can see in the Champions League in its entirety for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
it's amazing.
The balance of their side is incredible. They've got no weak spots at all. That midfield combination where they have Casemiro, who did a brilliant job aside from his goal anyway. He's arguably man of the match. Modric, who just never does anything
I mean, Kroos and Modric are being freed up by Casemiro. Yeah.
Modric never does anything wrong.
He's a magnificent player.
And what Isco seemed to be doing was just dropping all over the place, just linking up here and there.
That's
always
why Isco. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people in Spain are saying, you know, Isco's a more complete player or a more rounded player than, say, someone like Gareth Bale. Now, make what you will of that, but that's been the chat in Spain. And Gareth Bale's obviously explosive, very direct, and is a wonderful player. Yes, injury kept him out the side, but with Isco just buzzing around there, doing his thing. That midfield, you know, I think they preferred the extra man in midfield Real Madrid. It gives them a little bit more of something, and it certainly did in the second half. It really showed.
There's so much dynamism all through that team, and one of the frustrating things about Madrid in the past has been that they've, you know, the sort of Galactico culture. But I think they're actually helped by the fact that Ronaldo is, of course, the main man. Like, you know, it's really noticeable that when the teams are read out, he's last always. Mm. He's the headline star. He's got top billing, even over Zidane, who was the jewel in the crown of the Galacticos before. And I just think that makes them. It just helps them, doesn't it? It draws some of the ridiculousness away. And a great example of this was after Manzoo Mandzukic's goal, right, which was beautiful. Goal of the game, one of the goals of the season, because I don't think the ball touched the ground.
It was a glorious goal.
I'm glad we got a goal like that in the final.
Yeah, it's just brilliant.
But whatever happens from here on in, I think it's a beautiful final for that.
In the big final, sorry, Joe, I will go back to you, but I just wanted to say quickly that in one of those, a game like the final, it was a great game, and I agree with what you guys said in the first half and all that stuff, but what you're looking for in a big final is something that gets you out of your seat. Mm. And that goal got me right out of my seat.
For once, the title Champions League, for something like that, you sort of got that lived up to its title.
Absolutely. And it's a type of football game that people who don't necessarily watch football are going to watch. Mm. And if you get a goal like that, they go, I get that. I get why football is brilliant.
Like that.
And that's what we got. Sorry, Jim, carry on.
So what I was going to say was that the next two chances Ronaldo had after that were an overhead kick and a diving header that I don't think needed to be a diving header.
I'm really fluffed.
Absolutely, but I just love that. And I genuinely think that Ronaldo is so pumped.
It's like he's always personally offended by the idea.
Absolutely. The basal kick was beautifully executed. There's just probably any power behind
it. The thing is, you're right about...
Mario, why have you done that?
That's sort of my thing, mate.
If you want to score, just score.
I mean, Ronaldo scored his 600th goal of his career, club and country combined, which isn't too shabby. And he was in a chipper mood after the match, but saying some unnecessary things. He said, the people who always criticise Cristiano are going to have to put their guitar back in its case.
I like that. I don't think that's unnecessary at all. I think that's brilliant.
Do you think?
Fantastic.
Speaking of the third person, beautiful.
Yeah, I think there's a certain element, and I know it's nice and refreshing when you experience a player and who's brilliant, but he's also really humble.
Yeah.
But in order to appreciate that stuff, you do need to have these types of characters. Yeah. As well. It's like the reason, it's exactly the same principle. The reason why the fact that Roy Keane and Sir Alex Ferguson don't like each other is absolutely perfect. Mm. I would hate for them to be mates, and I would hate for Cristiano Ronaldo to be humble.
But it's just like he achieves so much of the game that he goes, like, you just sort of go,
yeah, but he still feels
done really well.
Say.
Yeah, I know. He can't help himself.
Oh, yeah.
It's like walking past a transplant one and seeing a bloke having a tab. You sort of go, oh, that's a shame. That is a shame.
Oi.
Didn't need to do that.
Go put away the guitar.
Yeah.
But God, you waited so long to do that, Marcus. Yeah.
Oi, 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 hand up he was. Oi, oi.
Dan.
Fuming now.
Fuming.
Go on. Do you want me to fill?
Might have to now.
I'd like to go back to the Mandzukic goal for a moment. Because
gladly.
Bayer Leverkusen tweeted their delight at that goal, saying something along the lines of, have that, Zidane, for the goal in the 2002 World Champions League final or something.
They're taking ownership of another team's player scoring a goal.
I quite enjoyed that.
Was it just after the goal or was it after the match?
No, I think it was. I think it was
during the match.
Have they been ready with that ever since?
Since Twitter's been invented.
We'll get him. Gonzalo Higuain had a quiet game, didn't he?
He's not
one for a final.
No, he misses
chances in finals quite a lot. He didn't even get any chances this time around, did he?
I mean, that's what €75 million gets you these days.
Speaking of people having digs, Raja Nangalan, he was having a dig at the Juventus fans on Instagram.
Oh, well, he's probably having a smoke at the same time.
Gracious in their defeat. He's had clashes with the Juventus fans previously, apparently, and he started his little video by saying after the match, what a lovely evening.
Richard Keyes, life, my friends.
It's like Sol Campbell.
That's a highlight of the season. Sol Campbell getting progressively videoier.
So I've only seen two of his videos. Mm. Both are unsettling.
Yeah.
None of which make any sort of point at all. One of them, he's sitting there in silence for a long time.
Creepy. So creepy.
My favourite one is the one where he's saying, I'm the most normal guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah, right.
I've seen that normal, Sol.
Oh, dear. Well, Nangalan, he had a dig at Juventus. I think some of the fans were talking up Juventus' chances before the game. Well, that's understandably so. And he was having a dig at those people saying you shouldn't talk before the finals played. And then I had a comment about the fans spending a lot of money to be there and stuff. Come on, mate.
I love it if he went, someone like me, I mean, I'm independently wealthy, I'll go there if I want.
His social media game is exactly the same as his game. Just very aggressive.
I don't know. To sum up the final, I thought a lot of people saying that Madrid's I don't have a philosophy.
What's winning?
A particular style, or do you know what I mean?
Their philosophy, I think, is scoring every game and winning the league and the European Cup.
Absolutely loads. I mean, it's worth noting that for the whole time we've been doing this show, we've been laughing at Real Madrid for their unrealistic expectations, but they're actually fulfilling them.
Yeah.
Like they're setting the bar to a surely unachievable goal, but doing it.
But Jim, there was talk earlier this season that we talked about on this show where it looked like Real Madrid weren't going to win the league. And we didn't know what would happen in the Champions League, obviously, because it was very dead. And people were saying, if Zidane doesn't do this and this, he's going to lose his job.
Yeah.
And he's only been there 18 months, and he's won back-to-back Champions League.
He should walk well he can.
Yeah.
I still think they should have given Rafa more of a chance.
Yeah.
The thing is that this Madrid side are exactly what they want to be. They're the best side in the world because they've assembled a great squad by taking some of the best and most expensive players in the world and then playing better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And so this is an ultimate triumph for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
The philosophy and all that kind of stuff, they want to be the grandest side in the world. They want to show their wealth,
that's
their
like
dominance,
their opulence. Itself, basically.
Exactly.
And also, they pressed Juventus so hard in the second half to start with. They didn't give any space, they rattled them, then they settled into it and just utterly steamrolled them. I mean, just because you wouldn't give it a label like tiki-taka or total football or whatever, doesn't mean it isn't an impressive style.
Philosophies are for Brendan Rodgers.
Exactly, yeah. So some people will find that Real Madrid sort of triumph quite distasteful in the way they've done it.
Yeah.
They certainly won't.
They're the worst back-to-back Champions League winners ever.
Yeah, I would have a bit more truck with that if all the other teams were paupers.
Yeah,
when they're not.
Exactly. Juventus weren't. I mean, they haven't been good guys. Recent history would say.
Man United's squad is more expensively assembled than theirs, and they're in the Europa League. So
they won it, though, didn't they?
They did. You can't argue with that.
They'll be taking on the best next season.
They will in the group stage.
And we look forward to it. Time for a quick.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ad break.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. We did have a preview show last week, and there was a bet of the week last week. Luke, how did our man get on?
Liam Robertson, the man who mirrored his proceedings in the first ever bet of the week from a listener, he won again.
No,
he actually landed it again.
Holy moly.
He landed it again. A draw and Real Madrid in the half-time full-time market came in and raised another £300 for Prostate Cancer UK. So he'll be in the hot seat all summer. In total, the listeners raised £2,190.47 for that wonderful charity, Prostate Cancer UK. So well done all. And Liam, you will be back at the first preview show of next season, which seems a long way off at the moment, to give us your next bet of the week. So well done to you. And well done to everyone who got involved all season.
He's earned himself a good summer break there.
He has.
My goodness.
He's spending all his time thinking about it. I expect he'll be up all night. As soon as the fixtures come out,
it's probably a curse. Actually, don't the fixtures come out in about 2 weeks?
14th of June they come out, so that's something we can all look forward to.
Something that we're going to look forward to, and in fact we don't have to look forward to it anymore, it's happening now. It's emails with Pietro Donaldini.
Oh, I appreciate the Italian lilt to my name.
Sounds like Donadoni.
Hello.
Yes.
Pete is nowhere near in the class of that man.
Right, alright.
You're not.
Yeah. Do you want to read the emails?
You're wearing plus fours today.
He's claiming.
What's a plus four? What is a plus four? purposeful.
It's like it's like a golf trouser that goes just below the knee, and normally paired with a pair of long socks.
I am wearing socks with sandals, effectively.
Pete's claiming he's in the same class as Roberto.
Donna Dunne.
I'm taking umbrage with this.
To the point where he's offended. Yeah.
Right, hello to a man by the name of Russell. Hi fellas, just thought I'd tell you about something that happened during the Vancouver Whitecaps versus Atlanta United MLS game this weekend. The Whitecaps winning 3-1 with about 15 minutes to go when their striker Freddie Montero was clearly fouled in the box. The referee immediately pointed to the penalty spot, but unfortunately the Whitecaps were defending a corner at the time and the ref had simply forgotten which way they were kicking. Which I quite like. I don't think I've ever seen that on a football ground.
That's
wonderful.
Fantastic. That's the sort of quality you can expect. Were you watching that instead of the Champions League final?
Yeah. Football, mate.
Yeah, I wouldn't discount it. It might happen. Oliver says, one highlight of the season for me was taking my 7-year-old boy to his first away game. He's a season ticket holder in the cheap seats at Bolton Wanderers for 2 years, so he's already had plenty of field research for fruity vocabulary. But a packed away end at Oldham's Boundary Park proved a crash course in C words. Two larger lads stood behind us, kindly bit their lips throughout a frustrating first half so as to spare him the worst. But after half-time and no change in the tepid tempo, they let rip with the Fs and the Cs while thoughtfully covering my son's ears.
It's not worth it.
With their beefy butcher paws, he says. He's watching other men manhandle his son. Not that you should manhandle your own son, I don't know. But
it's only going to muffle it a bit.
Yeah. After that, my boy just counted the fucks, saying, "There's one, Dad. There's one, Dad. There's another. That's 10 now." Which I really like. Whoa. Up the trotters. Thanks for all the podcasts, Oliver. Hello to NG, who apparently his best friend is a budding actor who's currently, he's landed a part in a film coming out in 2018 about this Nazi fella who became a goalie and played at an FA Cup final with a broken neck.
Bert Trautman,
presumably in a roundabout way describing Bert Trautman. Yeah. So apparently there's going to be a film about Bert Trautman.
I'm not sure.
Very exciting.
I'm not sure he was a Nazi. He's a soldier, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just. Yeah.
Okay, right.
I thought that Trautman could be one for Jim's film review next season once he's watched The Shawshank Redemption. Although a film about crawling through a tunnel of shit to get back to the same place you've always been before might be tired viewing for an Arsenal fan.
FA Cup winners this season.
Thank you, NG.
Talking of films, Ian Wright wanted to be a stormtrooper in Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
Because he knew someone who was one of the ADs or something on
there. He's 5'9". That's a dig for me and you, isn't it, Marcus? That's annoying.
He's slightly taller than me, and he was, in the words of Princess Leia, too short to be a stormtrooper.
Yeah. Is that true? That actually happened.
He said it. He volunteered.
I knew Darth Vader was a wrong
one. Post.
Stretched him in
just
post.
Get a bloke who's tall enough.
Just give him big built up heels. Jimmy Allen wants us to know about Virginia's finest tourist attraction, Formhenge.
All right.
A full-scale replica of the classic Wonder of the World made entirely of foam. Yeah. Tom in Bournemouth reckons he's one of the few ramblers ever to have licked Stonehenge, or indeed any famous landmark. Yeah, I'm almost glad the season's over so that we don't have to, field any more of that,
still
to be honest.
Still emails about it, aren't
I know, yeah. And finally for now, Abdul's found a golden jewellery shop in Houston, Texas that's got a massive photo of El Diego over the front because apparently he's a partner. Some of the photographs are fantastic. I'll get it on Twitter tomorrow. Yeah. They're going to be incredible.
Well, it's just a random association.
Just a random association with Diego Maradona. In Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm passing through there. Maybe I'll pop in.
Do it.
And buy some bling.
Yeah, do it.
Well done, Petey.
So,
help the man with his tax bill.
Wonderful. Whatever, that's the last emails of the season.
Wow. That's emails. It's the end of the season now. You've been doing emails. I mean, how do you think it's gone?
I think I could have done better.
I agree.
Listeners could have done better.
Luke and Jim, if you'd like to rate Pete's performance, relegated Champions League?
My major problem is Pete's filtration system.
Yeah. Right.
He needs to be a lot better on the filtering of the emails. Okay. I reckon we probably get some good ones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I almost guarantee we do, Luke.
But at this point,
you're slaying the listeners here, aren't you?
At this point, that remains a rumour. I'm only joking. I love this. I love hearing from the listeners.
Of course you do.
Yeah, but I think Pete's been very good. I've enjoyed it.
Outrageous. You don't have to rate me.
I feel like you've won the championship of emails with this last performance.
Big league next season.
I was going to say League One playoff semi-final. What do you think?
I think fourth.
I love it. Champions League
in the Scottish Premiership.
I thought you meant in the ramble.
I do. Eden Hazard. Let's talk about some wicked whispers. Yeah. I'd love this. He said he'd have a listen if Real Madrid wanted to speak to him.
Well, you know what I learned today when reading about this? That he doesn't have an agent.
All right.
Isn't that fascinating?
So you'd have to listen, presumably.
Yeah, exactly. it's his mobile number that everyone's got.
It's come back to haunt him because he broke his ankle today.
He did,
in training with Belgium, So the most recent newspaper report I read said he's probably going to miss the start of the season. Yeah. So it's unlikely he's going to move because he's not going to get a pre-season or anything.
Keep your phone on, though.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that Antoine Griezmann's going to move because he said it would be a dirty move if he left Atleti now after their transfer ban was upheld. Peter,
are you
going to
use the word
moves?
Dirty move? Yeah, good.
The author of many a dirty move himself. What's your take on this?
As long as you're creative, no one minds.
Okay. Yeah. I think with the Eden Hazard thing, I think that what happened was there, Antonio Conte heard what Hazard said and just went round and just broke his ankle. Yeah. Right. Just hobbled him. Just hobbled him like in that film Misery.
Why have you got that crowbar? You're going to fix it.
No. Oh. Or maybe you said to Michy Batshuayi, like, yeah, you can start a lot more if you just do me this one favour on international duty.
Well, and then it's like the film Misery when Eden Hazard's driving through the mountains and crashes his car, and all of a sudden Conte and Batshuayi come out and just hobble him and keep him in the bed.
Yeah.
Could have happened.
It might not have happened, though. Mm. There's a lot of chat about Alvaro Morata, the Real Madrid forward. According to Guillaume Balaguer, Jose Mourinho fancies him for $20 million plus David De Gea.
Yeah, it's a strange one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, take what you will of that.
I mean, obviously the De Gea thing, he's got history and stuff, but I would be surprised if he wants De Gea to go. I mean, God. But the thing with Morata is, I mean, for a striker who essentially isn't a first-choice striker, admittedly at one of the biggest clubs in the world, his goal-scoring record is very good.
Yeah, he's got 20 this season.
Yeah, if he plays regularly, I can imagine him being a really successful goal-scorer for a team like that.
Also, he's actually the second top scorer behind Ronaldo for Madrid. And when you look at the players they've got in that team, that is really impressive.
That's surprising me to hear that.
I just wonder if De Gea's head has been turned and Mourinho is, you know, old enough and wise enough to recognise that and know that it might actually be better to try and get rid.
Well, Mourinho played Romero in enough games, didn't
he? Did,
he?
Yeah.
But let's move on to Arsenal, because apparently Big Veng has been given a war chest of over £100 million. Some people saying around about £100 million, some people saying £165 million.
Mm. And what has Wenger himself said about that, Marcus?
He said,
bring me back down to earth.
He said, the fans can expect no more than 3 signings.
And that we can't spend as much as other clubs.
Yeah. I think one of them.
Could he just be replaced by like an Arsene Wenger soundboard in the off-season?
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
It's a soundboard and a mask in a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
No one's noticed.
One of those penny for the guy type things. Mm. Sit him in a chair. Whenever a journalist asks any sort of question, hit one of the buttons at random and he says, I don't know, I didn't see it. All of a sudden, one of the buttons means he tries to do his coat up and he can't. Mm, yeah. The other one says he don't want to spend any money because there's no value in the market.
One throws a water bottle, use that sparingly.
Cleverly written to just, you know, fit all answers. But apparently Saeed Kolasinac looks like he will be unveiled as an Arsenal player very soon, which I think is on a free transfer. So
I think that'd be a good
two transfers to go.
Hey, but you've still got all that money left.
Yeah.
I don't think $165 million or whatever is a war chest anymore.
Well, it is.
Especially for a club the size of Arsenal. You're looking at 70 million players every
on
time.
On three players, though.
Is it a combat canister?
No, battle box.
But the full quote, actually, Jim, just to bring you back down to earth even more, is he said, the fans can expect no more than 3 signings, and we're selling 8 players.
Yeah. Well, he does need to strengthen up front, as I'm sure a lot of you are aware, because Yaya Sanogo's leaving the club after 4 years.
That's a shame.
After 4 years,
he finally found his way out.
Well, he said, I'm free. The adventure ends. I thought,
it's not really an adventure of sitting on the couch.
I see what you mean. To be fair, there was some quite sad quotes from him. He was saying he's hampered by injuries and so on and so forth. But he's going, and that one goal that he contributed, I'm sure will be remembered by many people.
I mean, I literally can't remember it.
It was like it was against Dortmund in the Champions League.
Was it?
Why?
I say that, I read it earlier.
Okay.
I didn't remember it. I researched it. There's talk of Riyad Mahrez, Alex Lacazette, Arda Turan. None of these players will go there, of course. But if you could choose one...
Well, they looked at Mahrez before. Leicester gone, didn't they?
Mahrez might actually end up replacing the Sanchez. I wouldn't be surprised at that. Because if you look at the season he had last season, I think he'd have a little bit less interest. So
the Lacazette one's come about because now Atletico Madrid can't sign players. He was apparently being lined up to replace Griezmann, and now Griezmann's not going. There was quite an interesting bit in the paper a week or two ago about how the upholding of the Atletico Madrid transfer ban actually affects like 5 or 6 Premier League clubs because it's all linked in. So that's why the Lacazette thing, and he's now been linked with Arsenal. He's been linked with them before anyway.
He's also been linked with Liverpool for quite a lot of money at the moment. Obviously, been in the Champions League, they'd lead the race on that. But I think they should go in hard for Lacazette because it's hard to find top class strikers, and he got 36 goals last season. Had a great season before that. He's a bit under the radar in that sense, even though he's sort of, you know, always in the transfer rumours.
Speaking of Liverpool, by the way, I read today that Virgil van Dijk has told Liverpool he wants to sign for them.
Yeah.
A couple of things are interesting about that. One is that City and Chelsea both wanted him, and he's chosen to go to Liverpool. Mm. The second thing is apparently he could cost up to $60 million.
It's an enormous transfer.
And the worst, and potentially the worst thing, and I'll be happily to be put right in a year's time when he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I do think he's a good player, but he's not that good. No, and he's missed a bit for injury. They're making him their highest paid player. Yeah. Not the highest paid defender. Their highest paid player.
I'll tell you what.
200 and something thousand a week.
It would be lovely for Southampton to massively mug off Liverpool like that after all the transfers
Marcus,
that have gone.
What's that sound? Oh, is that the sound of Philippe Coutinho's agent knocking on the door? There's going to be a landslide in there of new wages.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
It's when the transfer window's shut, you forget about the financial nonsense that is now, you know, the bedrock of the Premier League.
Oh,
it's
that chap will have his totaliser out soon, money and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. One Arsenal player that could be leaving is Kieran Gibbs. Apparently Newcastle United are having a look at him.
I think that would be a good signing for Newcastle.
Thank you for all your cast-offs.
Yeah. He's an injury
prone
fullback, what Newcastle United needs to stay in the league.
Yeah, I personally think Gibbs is quite overrated, and he's hardly ever available either.
Maybe when he leaves Arsenal, that will change. That is often the case, isn't it? I think Gibbs
not when he goes to Newcastle.
Yeah,
to be honest, the Newcastle injury record has probably been better than usual. Than we usually get, to be honest.
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah,
blimey. Terrible news about former Newcastle man, Cech Tiote.
Yeah, dreadful. Absolutely, very
sad indeed.
30 years old. I did like he was one of the most tenacious footballers, and it's quite apart from his footballing career and stuff. Yeah. It's terrible to lose a man so young. I can understand why people are quite queasy to separate players out genetically, but sub-Saharan African men do have a higher risk of heart attacks. There's a list on Wikipedia of the players who've died in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Out of 17 in total since May 2015, 11 were from Africa, and they all died of heart attacks. There's a statistical anomaly that states that African men are more liable for sudden cardiac arrest. Are we doing enough focus on that genetic group effectively when it comes to...
As far as I'm aware, top flight football players in the UK get scanned every year.
Mm.
Whether they do or not over in China or other countries, I don't know, but they brought that in relatively recently. Yeah. I think post Fabrice Muamba that was brought in.
Mm.
So they do get scanned now, players.
But from like Marc Vivien Foy right through, it just seems to be...
From Spain as well, that happened. There was a few years where that happened. I think things improved there in terms of checking, as Luke says, but...
Yeah. But you look at the figures, it's stark that a lot of them are from like Ivory Coast, Gabon, places like that. It's pretty dreadful reading for my money.
I'm fairly sure that scans and stuff and regular checks have been brought into to sort of UEFA affiliated top leagues and stuff now. So it might not be the case in China. To be honest, I don't know. Mm. Obviously, he was playing for a Chinese club at the time. It's terrible to see an athlete taking the prime of his life like that. You know, and obviously condolences to his family and friends. It's dreadful, dreadful stuff.
Yeah, really horrible stuff. Moving away from Newcastle, going to Southampton. Now, this would be quite something. There's a little rumour going around that Louis van Gaal is eyeing a return to the Premier League.
Now you're talking.
There we go.
Now you're talking. Bang. I can't think of a better club for him to go to. I genuinely can't. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy will drag and suck every ounce of interest and fun from that club, and I can't wait for it.
This will be the straw that finally breaks that camel's back, the modern era's camels.
We can only hope, Jim.
Mm. Talk, you know, he's actually been linked as well with Crystal Palace, and like he's just seen as some sort of Dutch Allardyce. Now.
I'd love to see him.
How has he fallen to that?
I'd love to see him back in the Premier League. Full stop.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, but Southampton would be ideal for me.
Would that, if you punched into the, you know, the Ramble database, what would we like to see? Now, obviously,
have we got a Ramble database.
Oh, in some ways, it's getting a bit dusty.
Is that how you do this running all the way?
It's on 5.5-inch floppies.
I beg your pardon.
It's actually 5.25, isn't it? So the joke's
no, 5.5. So
you,
I thought
it was 5.25.
3.25.
If
might be wrong.
If you are wrong, you know you are. No, Marcus, this is really important. Yeah.
No, you didn't want to talk about stuff from the 80s. 5.5-inch floppies, fine.
Would it be... Obviously, we don't want Rafa Benitez to lose his job, but would the ideal thing be for Louis van Gaal to get the Newcastle United manager's job?
What is wrong with you, Marcus?
I'm still thinking about picks 5.5-inch floppy, aren't
you? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I'll tell you what, if he takes a job at Southampton, you'll almost certainly see Louis van Gaal's 5.5-inch floppy in the dressing room.
There's nothing floppy about that.
A couple of his... he probably calls him his pair of USB drives.
His wings.
Yeah, well, his sources close to him have said Southampton are putting out the feelers to see if he's interested.
Be careful.
Mm.
Where would you start?
He will drop them in your palm.
Oh, dear. Portsmouth. Talking about the big sides, they've appointed former Rotherham, Millwall and Wolves manager Kenny Jackett.
Yes. Do you want a serious opinion about that?
Oh, would you like a joke about his name?
Yeah, that's what I was sort of hoping for. Peter, you'll provide that in a minute when you've thought of a joke, perhaps.
Yeah. Do you want to sit on that and I'll do a bit?
Willie jacket in more like at the end of the season.
All right, okay.
When they go down.
Have another go.
I was hoping for better than that.
Have another go. Yeah. Paul Cook, the man who won the league, probably took the Wigan job.
I mean, he must have rocks in his head.
What's he doing?
Yeah. Absolutely
strange.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, not even a football town, Wigan, is it? But to be fair to Paul Cook, he got Portsmouth to promote, they won the league and all that stuff. And I do believe he's based a lot closer to Wigan than he is to Portsmouth. And I think he wanted to go back up to be closer to his family and all that stuff, which is absolutely fair enough. I'm actually quite pleased with the appointment of Kenny Jackett. I think, he can deal with the media well. He seems impressive. He puts teams together. He organises defence. He did a brilliant job at Wolves, who are in a similar position, a big club.
He's
who
got
are in
sides
League
out
One.
In League One. Yeah,
yeah, and they absolutely coasted. And one of the things that's not made a lot of this, actually, in the press with Jackett, not only did he walk that division with Wolves, he got them to seventh in the Championship next season. They only just missed out on the playoffs. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm not excited. It's hard to get excited about Kenny Jackett. I'm positive about it.
You're on the Kenny Jackett bus.
Before you say this, can I say, the whole point I was making that I could see by looking at your face, you were just thinking of something to say about Kenny Jackett in a pun. So please do deliver it now.
Under Jackett, will Portsmouth zip up the league?
That was better than we ever deserved.
Ears open, they've got the other team's defences in their pocket.
Yeah. That's how you do it, Peter.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
So, I'm worried now because he's still thinking.
Don't worry, we've got, I don't know how long to for him to... Oh, this one's a
better
one.
Will they push the court out when it comes to transfers?
Have another go at the start of next season.
Okay. Yeah.
Peter, perhaps you'll be able to jump on board with this one, because Hull City is set to appoint former Russia manager Leonid Slutsky.
Yay.
Right, there you go.
If you can't get behind that dancer, no.
I can't ski, for one. I'd have to work down the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah, it's not the part of the name I thought you'd focus on, but there we are. Dearie me, before we go to the ad break, the little mention of Scotland versus England.
Oh, because Craigie Brown's been piping up, hasn't he?
He's more of an agent for Craig Brown, really.
Piping up.
When I noticed you wanted to talk about this today, can I ask you, what does he actually do now, Craig Brown? Is he retired?
Yeah, of course.
He's just a broadcaster.
Remember, he finished with Aberdeen.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And
then there was Motherwell.
And then Dundee.
Finished with Aberdeen. He was very pleased that he managed to have a bit of consistency there.
Yeah.
Because they finished ninth three seasons in a row. And they've definitely kicked on now with Derek McInnes in charge. But he's been ramping up the chat ahead of the match. And he said, I don't want to be disrespectful to Southgate, but I think Gordon Strachan has far more nous and managerial ability.
Oh, you're so spicy!
It
would be a harder game for us if Roy Hodgson was in charge. That's disrespectful.
He's having a little bit of a big up for his pal, Roy.
And Roy would get on well.
They're pals, I guarantee it.
Oh, absolutely. But then he recalled the famous match that his Scotland side won at Wembley in 1999, and he said that Keegan named his team for the second leg early, which was a mistake in his opinion. Funny that, isn't it? And can't even get the timing of the team selection right. And when he saw Southgate's name on the team sheet instead of Martin Keown, he said, "Oh, your beauty." He basically massively targeted Southgate. Yeah. Having a massive dig. Not just a manager. Going back to his playing days.
He's captaining the team rather than managing.
Is he turning into evil Craig Brown?
Craig Brown comes at you with a sort of a barb like that, how do you deal with it?
It was like the episode of 80s TV show Dungeons & Dragons when the Games Master turned to the dark side. Or the Dungeon Master, rather.
What?
He looks a bit like Craig Brown.
Does he?
Little chap. No, little bald chap.
Carry on, Pete.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anybody? Uni.
Yeah. I get the show. I know the show. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Time for an ad break, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank Christ.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, last Football Ramble of the season, boo-hoo. But hang on a minute. Luke's got some news about something I'm not involved in.
Yeah.
What's that on the horizon?
Finally.
Your little coup worked, didn't it, at last? Yeah.
The listeners spoke and we listened.
You know, like when a rocket loses its kind of like wings and just soars into the universe.
Well, never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
It started with a conversation that Pete and I had where Pete said, "Look, I'll be honest with you, Luke, Marcus is shot to bits."
Yeah.
We jest, of course. But if you are sad or in any way upset that the Football Ramble's finished for the summer and won't be back till the start of the next season, then do not fear, because Luke Moore, that's me, and Pete Donaldson, that's him over there,
just them,
have brought to you Luke and Pete's summer. Okay, it's a show running throughout the summer every Monday from today, or by the time you hear this, yesterday, the 5th of June, where Pete and I ruminate on the sort of how would you say
the nonsense of the universe,
the flotsam and jetsam of the universe.
Yes,
we could take walks down the alleyways of life, take a sideways glance, Pete, at all the stuff we're interested in. So join us every Monday to listen to that. It's lukeandpeteshow.com. Search Luke and Pete's Summer on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Really, Pete, would you like to add anything to that?
I had a lot of fun recording the first episode. I'm hoping the second one's going to be just as much fun next week.
I listened to the first episode.
You enjoyed it?
I thought you boys displayed your humility by getting off to a very modest start. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Very good.
We spoke about Japanese ghosts.
Yeah. Jimmy, are you going to get a ticket or what?
I haven't listened to it.
There you go. Like the rest of the UK.
Yeah. That was a bit too genuine, that.
Pete and Luke Summer, have a listen.
Yeah, we were fed up with doing a successful podcast. The one that no one listens to. We talked about Japanese ghosts. We talked about lots of different bits and pieces, and you can get in touch with us as well. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. But give it a listen. iTunes, Luke and Pete Summer, it's called, on there, or lukeandpeteshow.com, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Do you remember Friends?
Yeah.
Do you remember Joy?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Pete, you are very much the Joey of this show. And I would keep it down, how are you? At least Joey knows the difference between a 5 1/4 and a 5 1/2 floppy disk. Thank you very much.
There we are. Luke, you'd be the Gunther of the show, perhaps.
I would.
Right.
Stalking women, not really getting a speaking part very often.
Nah.
Yeah, but I get it.
Idolising Joey. Yeah. It's now time for the highlights of the season, where we talk about our highlights of the season.
Yeah.
Why is it called that?
Because I thought that we'd go quite descriptive, if that's all right with you gentlemen. Any highlights of the season?
Shall I kick us off?
Get in there.
Highest attendance of the season this year was at Old Trafford on the 1st of April. 75,397 people. 0-0 with West Brom. Lovely stuff. That's the good stuff about the Premier League.
Yeah. Love it. And the world's favourite league.
That's the best evidence yet for why that £30 cap for away fans is very, very necessary.
Love that. Highlights of the season. There we go.
Yeah, Big Sam had quite the year as well.
Mm. Big Sam was a highlight, wasn't he? Saving Palace.
In 10.5 months, so essentially the length of a season, kept Sunderland up, took the England job, won his only game, was fired, was hired by Palace, kept them in the Premier League, and then retired from the game for good.
That's amazing. Squeezing in, isn't it?
Just walking off into the sunset, not looking back at an explosion.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, walking off from a car, and then chucking the lighter after lighting the cigarette onto the floor, the trail of petrol and everything blowing up.
There we are.
There we go.
Apart from his England tracksuit.
And then Harry the Harder running on and diving on the floor.
Yeah. Big Sam wears it. Big Sam's still got that tracksuit top.
Yeah.
And he wears it with half zipped up, with nothing underneath, with a medallion, a pair of Y fronts.
Yeah.
Loads of lighters back, like in it, just sewn into it in case he walks past a stream of petrol. Yeah. He loves doing that.
I imagine he does that just on the front porch, washing his car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like that.
Why would you have your car on the porch?
What do you mean?
Do you mean courtyard?
Well, down the front of your house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you've got a thing about porches. No, what's
it called? Palisadens.
Courtyard.
Courtyard.
Palisadens. Oh,
Your indoor porch was one of the highest. Was that this season?
It was Christmas.
If so, it was brilliant because.
PD's in the porch. PD's in the porch.
To give a recap, because this is definitely one of the hearts of this show on the season, you referred to a tiny wet room where you keep dirty shoes and coats your house as a courtyard. And then we got all the listeners to take photos of their porch and send it in and say, look at my courtyard. A lot of mad like beers and like soft drinks in them, keeping them cold for Christmas. Yeah.
Well, I don't have one in my actual house. I've only got one in my mum and dad's.
But do you have a highlight of the season or two, Peter?
I liked Jose Mourinho going full Howard Hughes. Like, he's had a particularly strange season,
I think.
He's really kind of batting down the hatches and gone full crazy.
One of my favourite parts of that was when he had a go at Antonio Conte for rubbing it in too much.
Oh, yeah.
When Chelsea beat them 4-0.
Don't celebrate like that when it's 4, didn't he?
Yeah.
Can you imagine saying that?
Stop rubbing it in so much, like you did your regain.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Have a bit of pride and don't turn up for the after-match glass of wine. Make a point. Walk past the office and make to go in, but then carry on.
But the thing is, though, ultimately he had the last laugh because he won the trophy that Manchester United fans all wanted to win so they could complete the cabinet.
It's the biggest game of the existence. Yeah.
It would be remiss to do the highlights of the season and not run for a few quick David Moyes quotes.
I was about to say, just in general, David Moyes.
Did a few of these in the live show, but I mean, obviously not that many people were there, relatively speaking, so we'll do it here as well. October the 1st, after a home draw with West Brom on Radio Newcastle. October the 1st, yep. After a draw.
Yeah.
What we're getting now is probably as much as we can get out of them. bit later on, but still well within the remit of easily being able to save your season with enough points.
Yep.
I could come out singing and dancing and saying everything is fine, but the truth is I haven't got anything to be positive about.
God.
Not one and thing. Not even Jermaine Defoe. Nothing.
People are hoping that something is going to dramatically change. It can't dramatically change. It just can't.
That was after their second match of the season in August. In August.
David Moyes has left his mark on this season, whatever anyone says.
We thoroughly enjoyed Moyes this season.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I loved it. I'm absolutely... I know it would never have happened, but yeah. I'm relieved that he's not gone to Portsmouth. God,
but where does he go from here? He's just had such a terrible
Scotland.
Time. Scotland!
If England gives Scotland a battering,
yeah.
I wouldn't hugely be surprised that Moisey will rock up there.
It would be brilliant. What about Newcastle going up, Peter? Or is that a low light for you?
Yeah.
That was fun. It's going to be...
How have you not mentioned that?
What do you mean? They should have gone up, shouldn't they, with that personnel?
I've mentioned Portsmouth winning the league out of context already on the show.
They should have gone up, though.
Yeah, they should have.
We sold 15 million players and went down.
Yeah.
Actually, is this the first time we've acknowledged that, including Man United's, Marcus's Man United past, all of our teams have actually won something?
Yeah. Hang on a bleeding minute. Yeah.
Hang on a bleeding minute.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You've got a point.
He's got an excellent point.
And your Chelsea won the league as well.
There we go, you see. Andy Carroll's overhead kick was a highlight.
Oh, that was special.
And the accompanying comment from Pete Olsen as well.
Oh, he had a lot of time.
A lot of time.
There's definitely a bit of Moyes in me, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think so. And only aesthetically.
I've got the eyes. I've got the sunken eyes.
Sunken eyes with nothing behind
you. Yeah. David Moyes in disguise. Yeah. Miserable. Got Sunderland relegated. Yeah, job done. Off he goes.
The Newcastle thing point is funny because you can imagine them having their little sort of celebration, their open bus parade or whatever. Pete just walks around the megaphone going, no more than we expected. No more than happy.
Job done, we go again.
Yeah. Think of your carbon footprint. Yeah. Is this necessary?
Next season, a Toyota Prius.
Oh, man. What are Portsmouth going up, Luke?
They are at top of the table, so I can't argue with that. Won the league.
Newcastle and Portsmouth won leagues this season.
Yeah. I want
to high
spirit.
Five, Luke. Come on.
No.
Why not?
And Jim, Arsenal won an FA Cup.
Well, I wanted to mention that, Jim, because I wanted to say that after all the sort of difficulty that Wenger had, he was battled all season.
Great FA Cup
for him to actually lift the FA Cup was a great moment for him. And I'm really, really pleased.
It was great, and obviously that made me very happy, especially as you say after what a turbulent season it's been. But within a season, you have your little moments as well, where everyone's buzzing about something a player on your team did. Yeah. So the highlights for that would be obviously Giroud's goal and Mesut Ozil's goal against Ludogorets all that time ago, which is absolutely fantastic.
Which was
that is a barrel being scraped out.
It's voted really Champions not. League goal of the season, I think.
Yeah, so
before the
yours.
Final.
Yeah.
So Mandzukic is going, hang on.
Yeah.
Wait till the tournament's finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never any good goals in a final.
Do you wish, is there a small part of your wishes it wasn't against Ludogorets?
There's a big part of me that's glad I don't support Portsmouth.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
She doesn't
all
like
comes
it,
out.
It
comes out now.
I thought the FA Cup actually was good this season because we had Lincoln City and Sutton United. We enjoyed those two very much so. But the way it finished, I thought it was a great game in the final, and it was nice to see Arsenal actually, turn on the style against the odds.
A couple of good teams.
Yeah, you're right, against the odds, because it was just a kind of almost like two fingers to the Wenger out brigade.
Two fingers up to the planes in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which was quite good.
Another thing that has to be mentioned, especially in the context of the show and how long we've been doing it and how long we've been talking about this thing, I love 34-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming to the Premier League and just killing it, proving he can cut it.
That was wonderful.
He was a definite highlight for the season for me as well. And Harry Kane as well. He's obviously fantastic again.
Harry Kane as well.
Spurs all over. He's been imperious at times.
Not really bothered.
If I was to choose like a highlight or sort of an interesting thing that's happened all the season, it'd be Leicester City.
Yeah.
From being blooming awful to getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
Yeah.
Terribly defending the Premier League crown.
Well, their Premier League season was odd, because as I mentioned earlier on the show, Ranieri was fired when they lost five league games in a row and ended up in 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave Shakespeare the job. Mm. He won five in a row and they were 10th.
Mm.
And then they ended up finishing whatever it was, 12th or something like that. It was an amazing rollercoaster of a ride for them. It really was. And their performance in the Champions League was excellent.
Dele Alli.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really came on the season.
He's a player who just has got everything now, and I hope he kicks on next season.
Mm. cheeky bid?
They were trying to bid for Rooney.
I could see Rooney happening. That'd be very, very
come on, stop
no,
doing
wait,
that.
Wait,
that's not going to happen, is it?
Graham, an honourable mention for Charlie Adams' corner against Burnley, where he slipped over and knocked it back into play with his hand.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Do any of the listeners have highlights of the season?
Yeah, got a few here. What have we got here? I asked for highlights of the season instead of highlights of the week, obviously. Oliver Bailey, Liverpool making the Champions League despite all the self-sabotage. Sunderland finally making their rubbishness official after years of circling the plug hole. Spurs doing so well with so many young English players. Leicester winning their group and then shock and Sevilla. Emre Can's goal as well.
Yeah,
classic. Arsenal finally doing something interesting by dropping out of the top four.
True.
There we go. John Robertson, this is a great one from Joel Robertson. My highlight of the season is Tactics Tim Sherwood's comment after Spurs destroyed Bournemouth 4-0. I'm not sure who the happier manager will be after this.
We're forgetting Tim Sherwood.
He finishes,
of course, didn't have a job with Swindon.
Joel finishes by saying, Pochettino will be Tim. Pochettino will be. Jake Shervill, Leeds having the same manager for a full season and finishing a respectable seventh in the league. So glad to see some stability. Oh wait, hold on, we'll have a different owner and a new manager for the start of the season. What could possibly go wrong? Joe Walsh, Darren Bent's own goal against Leicester in the cup, do you remember that? He sliced one in. To be fair to Darren Bent, he did score a header straight after that as well, I think. And I'll finish this from this with from Jonathan Prince. It's a no from me, I'm a Middlesbrough fan.
Very sad.
There it is. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
No, thanks for your support throughout the season. Oh, well, Pete, we're going to say thanks to the listeners. You know.
We certainly are. It's the end of the season. We'll be back on August the 7th for the start of the new season. Of course, who will come out on top next time? Who will surprise us all? And what will become of Gareth Southgate? All that and more will begin to be revealed in just a couple of months' time, ladies and gentlemen.
It seems so far off at the moment, but it will come round bloody quickly.
But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for journeying with us for another season. Big thank you to those who have come to the live show, signed up to Acast Plus, or bought a copy of the Football Ramble book. And to all of you who tune in every week, it's honestly a pleasure having you here every week with us, of course. We look forward to having your company in a couple of months once again. We couldn't and wouldn't do this thing called the Football Ramble without you. There we are.
Wow.
Profound.
Have you written that down?
It's like the Wonder Years. I've got a tear in my eye.
I'm like Terry Wogan, me.
Oh, these references.
Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Who's next? Luke, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peter, say something inoffensive.
Fuck the Tories.
I couldn't agree more. We'll see you next season.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.